You are listening to a talk given at the Brisbane City Bible Forum. We hope you enjoy the presentation.
Please, this is, I'm doing how to, this is what we do. Okay, don't think, oh my goodness, I've got to find 150 students, okay, you know, because I'm living in, you know, Dodderersville, wherever, where everybody dies in 3 years' time. I don't know, where is that? Your equivalent of Eastbourne, where is that? Hobart. No, that's dangerous, isn't it? Townsville. Anyway, we'll go somewhere there. Anyway, wherever it is. I don't know, Sunshine Coast or whatever. Okay, the Sunshine Coast. Anyway, so I'm not saying do what we... What I'm saying is principle. Word ministry is much broader than you think in the New Testament. If you're not convinced of that, go and check it out. Word ministry happens from the pulpit. The pulpit is key if you want to shape a movement. May I say, particularly in city centre movements, because most people are being taught on Sundays by people who do not have a proper theology of work, who don't understand what they're doing in the city and why God's put them there, who don't understand the possibilities of reaching a city centre, all the more important that you've got a gathered group of people who you are shaping through the preaching of the word. So I would really push that. Pulpit, one-to-one. I'm saying, however you do it, do one-to-one ministry, and anybody can do it. And our year works not January to December, but September to September. And after 2 or 3 months, with the new intake of people who've joined us, we try and see who the really hungry ones are and read one-to-one with them. So you find somebody... Now, at the same time, we want every member of the church to be reading the Bible one-to-one with a non-Christian. Why not? Did you ever have Richard Borgonnon up here? Sorry? Beginning of the year. Was sitting at this table. Standing right there. There is the hallowed spot. So Richard has helped to develop something called the Word One-to-One, which means anybody can read John's Gospel with a non-Christian, with no experience. Anybody can do it. And again, God's given us 4 tracts. Why not use his? Especially given that in a post-Christian culture where people, I mean, the guy Ben I mentioned about had never heard of Abraham. I mean, that's something else, isn't it? I'm reading the Bible with a lad, actually, who's gone to a church for several years at the moment. When we got to Abraham, who do you know anything about Abraham? He's Irish. I'm a little hazy on that. He'd never heard of Abraham. I'm a little hazy on that. And he'd been going to church for 3 years, you know. So this is the kind of person who turns up in the city, who you've got to train. So so we find the hungry ones, and somebody who has never read the Bible one-to-one, it takes, and somebody who's not a Christian, it can take 3 years for them to come to faith. And actually reading all the way through John's Gospel with them is the way, I think, a reason why God gave us the Gospels, so that people can be taught Christ. Okay, well, we've just about run out of time. I was going to talk about small groups. And I would want to be training people in small groups as part of this whole training of gospel workers. And I've mentioned to you that we have a basic discipleship training of Mark, Romans, and a whole Bible overview. We train leaders to lead small groups, and we invest huge amounts of time in training leaders so that they can lead small groups. And I can answer questions on that if you want later on. Now, may I say, off the back of this training of disciples, we aim to evangelize people. And some of the best evangelists in the city, I'll just give you a few examples. Jeff. Jeff carves out 30 minutes twice a week. He was a salesman. He sold financial products. And he worked for what is now RBS before it was ruined. So he worked for ABN AMRO. And he would carve out of his diary 30 minutes twice a week. His wife knew that his main mission field was the city, so she cut him slack. because he came home half an hour late. But that's because she was supporting his ministry, which was a good marriage, wasn't it? And Gina would be happy that he came home half an hour late twice a week. And in that half hour, he would take somebody out for a coffee. Do you know people do that in the city? There are lots of coffee shops out there. And he had no agenda. And because he had come up, he had no qualifications really. He started at 16 at ABN AMRO, or 18. And because he'd been around a long time, he would just talk to them about their career. Most city workers want to talk about their career. I don't know if you've noticed that. And if they find somebody in their 40s or 50s who will talk to them about their career, they have a great time. So for half an hour, twice a week, Jeff will be out finding about the family, taking interest, chatting about the career. Twice a year, Jeff had a lunch. And he took a room in the back of a pub or anywhere else. It could have been a boardroom. I've done this in boardroom. And he would invite me. Actually, Jeff was quite wealthy. He took a really nice room. And he laid on a really good lunch, which he paid for. And guess what? There were always between 10 and 16 people there. Always. Why? Because Jeff had taken the time to love the people he worked with. They came. He said, I am inviting William. You know I go to church. William is the vicar of that church. And he's going to talk for 5 minutes about the Christian faith. And then you can ask him any question you like. And boy, did they. And I've never ate any of the lunch that came in front of me. It was really very, very, very... It was a bit like, that chap in the myths who has food brought in front of him, water brought in front of him. You know, it was like that. Never ate any of the food, but we would answer questions. And then out of that group, so-and-so is really interested in X, Y, or Z. I can read the Bible with him, or I can bring him on a Tuesday. And Jeff then would evangelize those individuals and bring them along. Now, anybody can do that. But Jeff got, this is where what Richard talked to some of us about, the word one-to-one, cannot stand alone. Jeff got to that position of wanting to do that because he had been discipled. Somebody had read with him one-to-one. He'd come on a Tuesday lunchtime and heard the gospel taught regularly and been reinforced in his faith. He was part of a small group Bible study, which I led, actually. And so he was red-hot keen to evangelize his colleagues. So do you see the tip of the iceberg there? Wrong image, we're confusing images. But the sharp end of all of that comes from a whole raft of word ministry that's training disciples. Well, Robin Somerville, I'll give you two more examples. I'll talk about Robin and then... one other. Robin arrived. I bumped into Robin at a breakfast, and it was quite clear that though he professed to be Christian, he was all over the place. And I said to Robin, would you ever join my small group Bible study? We have 100 odd people in small group Bible study on a Wednesday morning at 7:30. Come and join my group. And maybe things, we can sort things out. He comes, and over the course of 3 to 4 years, he gradually gets straightened out by the word of God. Really, I should have met with him twice a year personally, but for one reason or another, I didn't. And 4 years, 5 years in, I said, Robin, do you know, amongst all the people I know, you're one of the people who has grown spiritually more than anybody else. Because I know it sounds wrong to say it, all we'd done was read the Bible in a small group together. And then Robin said, I ought to start evangelizing my colleagues because he'd been hearing the Bible. And that's what he started doing. And we had one of these lunches, and at the end of the lunch, I gave my 5 minutes talk on the resurrection. Robin's boss was there. And I went around and took questions, and his boss threw the Gospel of John down on the table. If that's what Jesus ... says, and that's what you ... think, Jesus is a ... and you are a ... So this is Robin's boss, and I thought to myself, I'm glad I don't work for you. They went back to the office. He threw this gospel down on the table of the girl in the office, the youngest girl who'd become a Christian through Robin's ministry, and had offered her, to which she looked at him and said, if I was a Muslim, you'd be in front of HR and you would have been sacked already by now. So back off. And I thought, wow, she's pretty good, isn't she? Why were they all so angry? Because this girl, Erica, had been sleeping with one of the guys in the office. And through Robin's ministry, who had warmed up over 4 years of just sitting under the Bible, she had stopped sleeping with this bloke in the office. And they were absolutely steaming about it. And so they sounded off at her and everybody else. So I say just teach the Bible, but of course the Bible is the Word of God. And if only we really believed it, then we would establish biblical ministries, confident in the Scriptures, and who knows what the Lord might do in our urban centres. Sorry to run over, let's pray. Some fell on good soil. Father, we praise you for this wonderful truth that we know that some falls on good soil. And we praise you for the 30, 60, 100-fold. And in this day of what will often seem to be small things, help us to remember this, to trust your word, that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. And help us not to be impatient to do your work. Help us to be ready to thrust people out in gospel ministry. And we pray that in your goodness, we might even live to see the day of 100-fold and this tree growing and birds nesting in its branches, as it were, as you advance your gospel from Brisbane across the world, for your name's sake.